We hear people say the truth or the fact of the matter is, it's kind of all to reinforce and to spotlight the fact that they're about to say something super real, super honest, isn't it? The fact of the matter is, that's kind of a political byword anymore. Now think, as I get started here, about how people justify themselves by calling what they say a harmless little white lie. Just a tiny little white lie to avoid telling the truth, to get out of trouble, to avoid embarrassment, whatever it might be. And then we come to the issue of oaths, O-A-T-H-S. People are pressed to embellish, to understate, and even to overstate the truth. And it usually starts something like this. The evidence that I shall give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And then the struggle begins for the truth to come out, especially in a legal setting, to find out who really is telling the truth, although so many are claiming that they are speaking the truth. Being a false witness, the subject of my sermonette, is and always has been a troublesome issue. Let's go to Mark 14, verses 55 through 59. I want to give the example of Jesus Christ, who all of his adult life, when he was preaching the gospel for those 3.5 years, was confronted by false accusations, people trying to trip him up, experts in the law trying to trip him up. They didn't succeed, of course, but notice what happens as his sacrifice draws near and it's coming to the end of his physical life in Mark 14 and verse 55. Now the chief priest and all of the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. That's the problem with a lie. It just gets tripped up. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, and again, it's inferred that they're not quoting Christ correctly even here. They say in verse 58, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But not even then did their testimony agree. It couldn't. They were basing all of their witnessing on false lies. Brethren, it seems like the truth has always had a difficult time finding its way into the light of day, doesn't it? And even God speaks about that, and he speaks about our time in a dramatic way, and boy, are we living in that time today. Isaiah 59 and verse 9. Isaiah 59, I'll get in verse 9 first. It says, therefore justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. That hasn't caught up with us yet, has it, in this nation or in this world at this time? Dropping down to verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Yeah, we know what we're doing. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. This profound statement here is so applicable right now. For truth is fallen in the street. That's a summation of most of man's human government at most times. And equity cannot enter. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. If you're righteous, you're not going to win a beauty contest or a popularity contest. just by virtue of that. News itself now does not convey the truth. It conveys some of the following, and some synonymous things to a word I'll give you in just a minute. It conveys imputations, allegations, complaints, blame, assertions, charges, and fault finding. But let me make that simpler and use one word. It contains accusations. Think about news today when you turn it on, and it makes you almost want not to watch the news. It's so revolting, at least if you have a conscience that hasn't been totally seared by the events of the world of this time. In light of that and the burden that we're bearing, I'd like to talk about the burden that God himself is bearing. We find in Revelation 12 and verse 10. And take note that this is directed to the brethren in terms of the group of people that are being spoken of here. Revelation 12 and verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Of course, speaking of Satan the devil. But think about the throne of God and think about what Satan is now with this temporary pass that he still has to appear before God, spends his time assiduously trying to accuse us, to find fault with us. And certainly if we did not have Jesus Christ, that might be possible, but we have Jesus Christ to bear the brunt of those and to buffet them and to turn them away and bring us out on the other side forgiven and innocent. But brethren, let's be careful here. We must not ourselves become false accusers. We have this commandment in Exodus 20, verse 16, that we should pretty well know by heart, but it says this, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's just not the way we deal, not with your brother, your sister, or anybody. Now, knowing that, kind of what do we do? I mean, we have to be truthful, and we don't have to always say everything that we know, but we can't lie, and certainly that has its penalty, as I'll come to in a moment. Also, in addressing the news and watching the events of the moment, understand we can't fix the society of this present age, this present world. And certainly God himself is not trying to fix this age, this world ruled by Satan, who is the God of this world, who is the, what did Jesus Christ call him? A liar and the father of lies. So Satan is not going to get a fix. He's just going to be removed at a point in time. But what God will do for sure, brethren, is establish a new government, his kingdom through Jesus Christ. And we're going to be talking a lot and experiencing a lot about that as we come up to the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day, where we, in a moment of time, capture that vision of the future glory that God has promised his family. Our job, it's the same as that of Jesus Christ, is to tell the truth in this age and at this time, the truth about the gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Jesus told us something very specific. He told us something we should both do and be. And you can find it in Matthew 5, verse 14, which I will just cite for you, if you'll bear with me on that. Jesus told his servants that you are the light of the world. What does that mean? That you go around like a light bulb? light bulbs can get turned on and off, can't they? No, a light that emanates from God's Holy Spirit in us, not being false witnesses, is one of the fruits of that. Philippians 4, verse 8 has something to say for us, and I'd like to read that. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just. Now, I'm not reading today's headlines when I read this scripture. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And I come to, hopefully, a takeaway for all of us. This scripture ends up with meditate, think about, inculcate these things that I have just read here in this verse. Don't be a false witness at any level. But more specifically, don't even think that way. As you hear the news and as you try to grapple with the reality of the times in which we are living, don't allow your brain to be pickled with lies. And certainly, don't get caught up into the practice of false accusations in, because those who do will have to answer to God, and those who do that will be judged as liars. And I think you can fill in other thoughts, other scriptures that you know about that describe how God feels about liars. I'll end with Matthew 5 and verse 16. Another admonition from Jesus Christ, actually a command. If we want to not be false witnesses, it's this. Christ instructs us to let your light so shine before men. Yeah, be that example. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Great reward in living our lives that way, brethren. Great challenge, too. But if we do so, we will be accepted into the kingdom of God. We will find our place there because we value the truth over the lie, something Satan and a third of the angels, evidently, who followed him, failed to do.